Good morning, Mountain View. Would you please rise and join us in our opening hymn, number 558.
And please remain standing for our second song, Let the Peace of God Reign.
Your It's wonderful to see you. Just a few announcements for you. The most important maybe is tonight from 5 to 7, well, there's going to be a picnic, cookout, music, games, extravaganza tonight here at the church. So I hope you'll come, and I hope you'll bring someone who maybe doesn't really like church. Tell them this isn't church. They don't even have to come inside the building. So let them know that, and bring a friend, bring a neighbor, bring someone who's maybe been a little suspicious about what church might be, and let them see it's just a wonderful time. We also, next Sunday morning at 9:45, we'll be having a hymn sing where we'll be singing some of the favorites. I understand there was a survey a while back, and you're working on that list to make sure that we sing some of those favorites. Next Sunday, we also need clothing packers. All of the wonderful things that you have brought in need to be packed up next week and also hauled out, so eat your Wheaties. There are a lot of other things happening in the life of the church. Make sure you read your bulletin to see what we're up to here at Mountain View. It seems like summer's supposed to be a slow time, but no one told this church that. So that's good news indeed. Let's take a moment to greet each other, welcome someone, find someone you've never said hello before to, and greet them.
kids around?
Do you guys want to come?
Come on up. Hey, boys.
Hey.
Walker, Max, Bamba, Zayden. I'm calling you over. Natalie, you can come. Okay, guys. Okay, I've brought some sticks with me today, you guys. Tell me, how many of you here think you're super strong? Anybody?
How about strong enough?
Who's strong enough to break this stick? Rupert, you think you can do it?
Show us, Rupert.
Oh, he did it. Okay, he could do it.
That was impressive.
How many of you think you can break all of these sticks at once? Max says yes. Try it, Max. Can you do it? You got a couple of them in there. Okay, pass it to Zayden. See if Zayden can do it. No, one at a time. Maybe pass it on to Walker. He says he can do it too. You want to try too, Bamba? Okay. I don't know. You can't do it either, can you, Walker? Let's pass it down here to Bamba. Let's see. He's got a couple cracks in there, I heard. But you guys, look, this whole thing of sticks is still. What about you guys? Anybody want to try it? Anybody think they can break it? No? You think you can? Go for it, Ellie. Can she do it? Not quite. I heard some cracks in there. Why do you think you guys couldn't break this? Why was it so easy for Rupert to break this stick, but you guys can't break this? Because it's by itself. That's right. It is by itself. So it's not as strong. It's barely anything when it's just sitting here. You think all of them at once? I think you could probably break them individually all together and put them all back together. But you guys couldn't break this one because it was way more than one. There were so many more sticks in here that were holding it all together that it made it impossible to break, right? Impossible to break, just all together. Maybe we can do that tonight at the party. How's that sound? They want to keep trying to break them. That'll be a game tonight at the party, okay? I brought these sticks to help you guys think about our church. I wonder what sticks have to do with our church, besides that I got them from outside of our church. I want you guys to think of each one of you as one of these sticks in here. Each one of you as one of these sticks. And when we put them all together, all of us are as one, right? On your own, you guys can do a lot of things. You guys can do all kinds of stuff on your own, right? But when you come here and you have all of these people around you, you can do even more, right? You can be even stronger. You can get more done. You can learn more about God when we're all together, right? We can learn about God. We can do stuff outside of this church, but all together, these people are going to support you and love you and help you as you grow, right? And you guys, you know what? You make all of them stronger too. Not one person in this room could be as strong as they are when we're all here together. Pretty cool thing, huh? We are like all of these sticks that cannot be broken. I bet if you ask anybody in this room, and if you thought about this, each one of us has a story about this church, right? Some memory of something we did here or people we met or things we learned that make this building what it is for us, right? Because it's a lot more than the bricks on the walls. It's a lot more than the lights that hang from the ceiling or even the benches that we sit in the pews, right? This church is everybody in here. And together, we are super strong, and we can do some pretty darn amazing things. Don't you think? Should we say a prayer? Can you guys say a prayer with me? Can you guys put your hands together? Say, hey, God, thank you for this church. Thank you for giving us a place where we can be together and we can be strong. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. You guys can go back over to the playground. We've got Bible bookmarks to make.
We come to a time of sharing joys and concerns, and one of the joys that I would raise up is this group of people over here. Sometimes people say things like, the children are the future of the church. They're wrong. The children are the church today, so I give a shout out to all you guys. I'm glad you're here this morning. Other joys and concerns you bring this morning? Last week you all had so many, I wanted to check. All right, they're good.
I have a joy, and my joy is that yesterday I got to babysit my grandson all night long. He's almost three, but it was so fun, and he's talking now. He told me, "I'm talking now, Levy." So my joy is the next generation.
Okay, good. Yes, fun times. Anybody else have a joy or concern? Jean. Her nephew is driving from North Carolina, all the way to Washington State, and he just retired for 20 years in the Marines. My brain is not working, sorry. Yes, that's wonderful. Traveling mercies to him. Yes. I'm sorry. Concerns for the vulnerable people. There's a lot of them in the world that we need to think about. Louisiana, yes.
On Friday, Steve and I celebrated our 11th wedding.
11 years, congratulations. Whichever, yes.
Yesterday I was out shopping and I came upon, getting close to the shopping area, and there was a terrible, awful car wreck. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who these people were, but they were being put in ambulances. Prayers for them. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed a five-day, five-state Oregon conference down in Denver, and in the middle of the 5 days, I managed to buy a townhouse.
She enjoyed a five-day, five-state Oregon concert in Denver, and in the middle of it, decided to buy a house. So, prayers for you. Oh, we're sorry to hear that. Her nephew passed away at the age of 51 just the other day. Prayers for you and your family. I saw someone here. Yeah, Jane.
I have a question. Jim Kaplan, can you tell us about
it? I can. Joni asked that I share. Jim Calhoun had a stroke July 3rd, I believe, and he has aphasia, so he knows the words are there and he can speak, but he can't always get the words from there to here, but he's already improving. And he is in rehab at the place that's connected to Broomfield Hospital. I think the information is in there. So yes, they'll keep them in your prayers. Your granddaughter?
Adopted.
Your adopted granddaughter is won an award to study in New York. Yes, sir. Concern for legal battles, but joy for pro bono attorneys in our lives, definitely. You two decide between you.
Ed Quincy passed away.
Yes, thank you. Ed Quincy passed away, and I spoke to Dorothy this morning, and the service is pending. We will let you all know when they make a decision. So make sure that you think of Dorothy and the family in this time.
I have a joy. Last night I was able to go karaokeing with both of my older brothers and my husband. And if y'all know the La Vega family, you know Nick and you know his situation and how he's genuinely not very accepted in most places. But last night he got up on stage, just no shame, and everybody in the crowd loved him to bits. So that was just a joy for last night.
Great, a joy of acceptance. Yes.
Yes, I have had the most remarkable experience and relationship with the Christian homeowner that I am buying a house from, and it's impossible to explain.
Joy for positive relationships. Well, that covers it pretty well. Thank you all. Lots of joys and concerns, and I know there are many more that live in our hearts that we don't speak out, but that we know are there. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come to this place, this beautiful, hot summer morning. We come to this place to join with each other in worship, to join together in prayer concerns, to join together as church. We ask that you would bless us in this time and place. Oh Lord, you heard many celebrations and some concerns, and we ask that you would shed your spirit in those places and in the prayers that are too deep to give word to. We pray that you would be in those places as well. We come to this time and to this place to remember what it means to be church, to remember who you have called us as church to be. We come to this place and to this time to share our joys, to share our concerns, and to share in being Christian together. We give thanks for those who have developed positive relationships in the world, whether there be through family or through work, whether they be through legal ramifications and even sometimes just buying a house. We give thanks for relationships that we don't understand. And we give thanks for times when we come together asking you to bless relationships. Be with us as we today talk about what it means to be church, this church in particular. Be with us as we talk about what it meant and what it can mean, who we are and who we will become. Bless this, your church, in all that we do in the days ahead. And as we come together as church, in all of the years past and in the days ahead, we will join together in the prayer that your Son taught us as we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our gifts and our offerings. And as you make those, will you think about what you're supporting as you make those gifts? Ushers?
Please stand and join us in the doxology. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your spirit on the gifts that we return to you. May they be used here in your church. May they be used to make a difference in the world. Add your blessing. Amen. Now I am going to have you guys sit down for this. The folks in the 903 are used to me bossing them around. I do in the most loving and supportive way. This song is an original song. It's called A Round of Praise for the 1030 folks. And you need to decide in your heart, are you an alto, a soprano, or a guy? Okay? Because it's going to make a difference. This is a round. Part one is going to be the altos. Part two is going to be the men. And part three is the sopranos. We're going to practice them all, and then we're going to stack them together. It's a wonderful togetherness song. So everybody decide, and we're going to learn it now. Okay, the first one is the altos, all right? Now, men, this is your part, okay? So if you're a guy, sing.
Lord, hear my song. I want to praise you. Lord, hear my song. Praises to you, O Lord.
Once more, men.
Lord, hear my song. I want to praise you, Lord, hear my song, praises to you, O Lord.
That was great. Now, sopranos, this is your part.
Praise, praise to the Father, praises, praises forever. Praise, praise to the
So we're going to start with the altos, and then everyone's going to continue to sing while we stack on the parts, okay? Altos first, though, because we're the melody.
I will praise you.
To praise you, Lord, I will hear my
Yeah, go there. Are you going to put it up on the screen? There you go. Because I don't have it down here. We're going to read it together, okay? Ready? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of God for the people of God.
I've been looking for my church Bible all week. I just found it. It's there. I should have looked here first. It's good to be here with you for week number 2. I'm Pastor Stephanie. I haven't gotten to meet all of you yet. And a couple of things I would ask of you, though. If you have one name tag, could you put it on? It helps me, at least for now. Later on, you can test me and I won't have one. But if you have a name tag, put it on. If you don't, leave us a note so we can get you one. Another thing I would ask is, if you see us out and about in town, will you come up and introduce yourself? Because somebody saw me at Safeway and said I didn't say hi to them. I'm sorry. I don't know who you all are. So please just come up and say, hi, I'm from church. And we'll appreciate that because it helps us learn who you are and where we might run into people. So we're glad to know you all, but help us continue with that. One of the ways that we get to know each other is through telling stories, and I appreciate the people who have come to tell me stories this week. Last week, I told you a story about myself, told you a little bit about who I am and who I feel called to be. And this week, we're going to talk about Mountain View United Methodist Church. Have you noticed the amazing pictures that have been backgrounds? Michael found some of our historic photos and some other pictures to show you all throughout the service, and there's some amazing things there. I particularly like the one that just was up with the sunrise. I guess it must have been the sunset behind the church. How beautiful. All kinds of beautiful things, drawings. He really dug deep. So if you see Michael, you might thank him for coming up with all of these images of the church. Mountain View has a rich history, and I've been excited all week to learn about it and to find out some things about Mountain View. I was surprised to learn that Mountain View started in 1958, but it started fast. You all didn't mess around, those of you who were part of that charter time of the church. It was decided that this area was growing, that First Church couldn't handle all the people, and this area needed to have a Methodist church. And so people boldly got together and said, oh, let's start this church. And it started with 204 members to start with, right off the bat. And that's how many people came to worship, but they didn't worship here. Started out worshiping up at the Bureau of Standards, it was called at the time, now the NIST is where it was. And it was so fascinating to me. Only the adults could go there to worship. I don't know if it was against the rules or what it was about, but the kids were at some place called the Ranch. And some of you who grew up here might remember that. It was the parsonage, the church offices, the Sunday school rooms, and that's where they dropped kids off Sunday morning. Can you imagine that in this day and age? If I said to you, adults, you come to church here and leave your kids a few miles down the road. Now, I know there are days you'd like to do that, but no, we don't do that anymore, do we? We have so many regulations and rules to make sure we keep them safe, which is how it should be. But that's how it happened back then, and there were a lot of children. On one of the first Sundays, they baptized over 20 kids in one time, different age, definitely. The first time that they actually were able to worship here on site was in the old chapel in January of 1960, which means it will be our 60th anniversary of worshiping here this coming January. So they started worshiping there and quickly filled the space, very quickly. By 1964, there were over 1,000 people worshiping in the congregation. Now remember, that was a different era, so don't feel too bad. In the 60s, it wasn't do you go to church, it was which church do you attend, and this was a rapidly growing area. And so construction began on this sanctuary that we're in today in 1964, and the first service here was in 1965. 5 years, a total of 7 from conception to being in the bigger sanctuary. And did you also know in 1965, not only was this place built, but it was filling up so fast and the area continued to grow, especially over by Table Mesa, that this church helped start St. Paul's. So not only did people from this church start this church, they started another church in 1965. Can you imagine that rapid growth? How hard that must have been for the staff to keep up with. How hard it must have been to understand what was happening. That's a lot of people quickly. But it took some boldness to make that happen. Because people could have just sat there at First Church and said, you know, we're okay. It's all right. We'll just add a service. We'll get some more chairs in. Let's not worry about it. They said, no, let's start something new. And you all are the heirs to that starting something new. I was curious as I was reading that, how many of you were part of this church originally back in 1958? Any of you here today? A couple, there's one back there. Yep, good. How many of you have been a part of the life of this church since 1965 or earlier, since we were in this place? Oh, that's more of you. How many years ago was that? How many of you have been a part of the life of this church for more than 40 years? Lots more of you. 30 years? A lot of you. 20 years? 10? How many of you have been here less than 5? Lots of you. A good mixture. Do you see that mixture of people who have been here from the beginning almost and continuing to join together to be church? Mountain View has that history of being strong and being bold and standing up for things. I read the history book. If you've never seen the 50th history, I encourage you to get a copy of it. Michael has some. He'd be happy to give you one during the week. Some interesting and hard times. In the late 60s, big problems on the Hill. Did you know about this? I didn't really think about it, but it made sense. This group of people called the hippies came to Boulder, and the church was very concerned about how to welcome them, but also how to keep the youth safe. I was a child back then, don't remember that time, but some of you might remember. And the church wanted to do social justice and help the people because the hippies came and they brought with them a lifestyle and a culture that Boulder was not used to. Even though in this day and age we think Boulder was always that, it really wasn't. It was a small town. And then it was a small town full of engineers and physicists. I've met more physicists in the last 5 days than I knew there were in America. Many of you seem to be physicists, and that's great. I like physicists. I'm learning. It's wonderful. But Boulder, what a combination. Down here, you had people who were involved in the space race. And then over here, you had people who were exploring free love. And, whoa, no wonder Boulder has an interesting culture. And this church has been part of that all along, always trying to figure out how to be part of Boulder, how to make a good impact in Boulder. That's been this church. And isn't that exciting to think about? But this church hasn't just been bold when it comes to building or bringing people into the church. It's been bold in taking up causes, just like the cause on the Hill. What are we going to do to help clean it up but keep those people free? How do we do that? This church has taken on and worked through all kinds of hard times in history. All kinds. The assassination of a president. Some of you remember that time even here as church. Some of you may remember other difficult economic times that the nation faced, and how does the church go forward in those times? People today talk about the difficult politics. It's not the first time, is it? There's been difficult times in the life of the country that have been reflected here and that we've had to figure out as church. And we're still here, so we must have done that. Mountain View has been involved in all kinds of mission work. I've been blessed to get to work with Linda Gertenbach in other times and places, and I know if you were not, she'd be back here telling you. Because she laid that groundwork of being involved in the community and in the world in places in need, and that requires a sense of boldness. This church has a lot going for it, always had. One of the things in the history book are all of the different people who have served the church, and I am proud to be added to a long line of powerful preachers, go-getters, and doers. The preachers are amazing, but what I realized is it's not about us. Never about us, anyway. One of the things that someone sent me an email this week said, don't forget the lay people. Don't you worry. I will not forget the lay people because I understand and know without you all, there would be no Mountain View. There would be no church. This person wanted to remind me that when the lay people come up with ideas that we should support, we the staff should support them, we're ready. Bring us an idea. This is my theory about ideas and how things might work. You might come to me with an idea and we might try it and it might not work. It might fail. But if we don't try it, how will we know? And if we try an idea and it fails, you know what? We can just say, what did we learn from that? What should we do differently? What should be the next thing? How do we fix it? So bring me those ideas and we'll see if we can put them into work. I believe in that. And this church believes in that. Let's start a new place, you all said, and you did. That's our history. That's our DNA. And I was excited to read about that history and to talk with some of you as I started to study the scripture for this week. I love this scripture. I'm not a big fan of Timothy, I should tell you that much. He says some things I don't agree with, and there's some things in the letter. And some people think that Paul wrote the letter to Timothy. Probably not. Probably not. Scholarship doesn't support that and want you to know that. But I think it's better if it wasn't Paul writing to Timothy, but if it was a disciple of Paul, someone who'd studied with Paul writing to the church. Because then it makes more sense to us, doesn't it? We're not Timothy and we're not hearing something from Paul, but we're hearing a message for the whole church. And that message is to not be timid, to not have that spirit of fear. And I thought, I'm standing in a church that does not have that spirit. It's not our history. And maybe we forget that sometimes. But if we are told as Christians, as church, if we are told to not be timid, but to be full of power and love, wow, what can we do with that? What can we do as church with that power and love versus being timid? I think being timid is sort of like the woman on the Irish coast who was a late adapter of everything. Everything. She didn't like change. She didn't want to see things happen. And her neighbors were surprised when electricity came to town. She was one of the first people to sign up. Yes, I want that. Bring it to my house. And her neighbors said, why would you want that? It's modern. It's new. It's exciting. You aren't that person. And she said, I want it. So they ran the lines and she had it. And after several months, they came out to read her meter and there was hardly any use. And they said, what's happening? Is there something wrong with your new meter? We don't know what's happening here. Do you not use the electricity you wanted so badly? And she said, oh, I use it every single night. When it gets dark, I turn on the switch, light all my candles, and turn it back off again. Sometimes I think spiritually we do that same thing, and that's what we're being warned against in this letter. I think spiritually we say, oh yeah, we want to be bold in our faith. We want to do something exciting. We want to stand up for people who need our voices. Yes, well, maybe just a little tiny bit. We forget what it means to be bold. We forget what it means to act out of love and power. Not just power, but love and power. We forget what it means to care. And there are many of you who care, don't get me wrong, but as church, sometimes I think we get scared. Well, it might be expensive, so I'll just turn that switch for a minute and turn it back off. It might make us uncomfortable if we start to do things that are hard. If we have to act out of power and love, we might squirm in our pews a little bit. I have to warn you, I have been accused throughout my ministry of causing a squirming or two. I don't think it is my job to make you comfortable. You're good at that all by ourselves, aren't we? We all are good at comfortable. I think my job is to help Mountain View United Methodist Church to squirm a little, to think about it and decide how we move forward, what our next steps are, who are we as church, and how do we make a bold statement here in South Boulder? Because we have in the past. I've seen the newspaper articles when we put the solar panels on. Front runners, it said. That's the way to get in the paper, to be a front runner, and a good and powerful way. Why did we do that? Because we care about the environment. We want to have a negative carbon footprint, and we're doing that in many ways. That's new and exciting. You all have been doing that for longer than anybody. Churches come to find out how. They come here to find out how. That's something to be proud of. But what else is there? What else is there, church? Do you know? One of the things that I find is many of you have the idea. You already know what it is that we should be about. You already know who we should be. You already know how we should move out of our comfort zone a little bit. But nobody wants to be the one to say so. I find that to be true. Now, this church, that's not in our DNA. It's not in our DNA to hang out and hide and be in the dark. It is in our DNA to do something, to be doers, and I see it all the time and all the places. You all are doing a lot. But what else should we be doing? Or what should we be doing differently? Or what should we be talking about differently? I don't know yet, but I'm starting to get some ideas, and I appreciate hearing them from you. Mountain View United Methodist Church, this is your story, and it's a powerful and exciting one, and I'm excited to become part of that story with you, to find out where it will take us, to create vision together, to understand together how we move forward, because in January, when we've been here for 60 years in this place, in this building, should we celebrate that? I think we should. I think we should. But that's not the end, is it? And we can't always be about looking back. What's the next 60 years look like, Mountain View? What is that going to be when we live out a spirit of boldness, a spirit of power and love? Are you with me? Are you excited? Are you ready to see what's next? Because I sure am. Amen. I encourage you to take a minute to think about it, to think about Mountain View and its history, yes, the strength from that, but also to move forward. If you have ideas, let me know. Send me an email, call me, drop by and see me. Let's together grow as church. So take a minute to think about that in this time of meditation. from this place and tell the story. The story of Mountain View. The story of God. Go in peace. Amen.
Everyone.